Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration today is our Ephesians text. The page number is written in your bulletin. If you want to follow along, that would be good. It's really about the relationship of both husband and wives to God. Of course, we know that in our popular generation, really, we've all been formed in it to one extent or another, that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. No. No such thing. No, we are actually created in the image and the likeness of God. And because God, at his very essence, it's not an attribute, because at the very essence of God is love. That's what he created. He created that image, that nature into us. But that is exactly the very thing that we lost in the fall. When we, Adam, disobeyed the commands of God, and death and sin entered into humankind. And we suffer for it to this day. But let's talk about it. We heard Paul in his great wisdom, you know, say, wives, you know, honor your husbands, obey your husbands, respect your husbands. And she's really dealing with the very nature of, because man is the head, as Christ is the head of man, man is the head of the wife. It's really a hierarchical thing. It's not a thing about equality differences, as if the male position in God's creation is superior to the female's position in creation. No such thing. The world frames it that way. Both man and woman were created in the image and likeness of God and created to love. You see, Jesus, if any of you have been to college or anything, you've probably been exposed to Cliff Notes in the reading of all the epic tales of literature and that type of thing. Well, Jesus gave us the greatest Cliff Note of the whole Bible. You know, the Bible is a big book, isn't it? It's a huge book, in the Old Testament in particular, and that's what he was referring to. But he summed up the whole very nature of the teaching of the Word of God. It's really quite simple. Oh, we complicate it today, but it's really quite simple. You should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That sums up all the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Well, guess what? That's at the heart of our text today between man and woman that he created in his image. You see, because that sin entered in, we break this command to great length, especially, he's talking to the church now, folks, not the world. We see how the world, in all of its places that do not know the Word of God, that do not know their Creator, how they treat this relationship of the family unit. A family unit that was of love. And when love doesn't operate within that family unit, it is broken. Right? It is broken. Not only does it affect the relationship between the man and the woman, but it affects their children. And it affects their culture and their community. And the nation as a whole. Oh yeah, this is a big deal. You see, if we listen to God and we hear that we have fallen into this sin and we need to be redeemed, and that when we believe the gospel that Jesus Christ came to save you from what? From that fall, from sin and death, and the possible judgment of wrath for all of those who have not submitted and accepted the blood of Christ upon them for their redemption, to pay for their sin. The only thing that waits mankind's future is the judgment seat of wrath against those who rejected God's love, because that's what they're doing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, didn't he? He gave his son for what? Because he so loved you. Even before the scriptures tell us, before the foundation of the world, he knew what Lucifer and a third of the angelic host that rebelled against him would do. He knew that. He knew what Adam's decision would be. He knew all of that. But God so loved you that he sent the Son into the world. And as Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. I came into the world to save the world. Because Jesus, and at the heart of our Ephesians text this morning, is just that, especially to the husbands. He says, husbands, love your wives. Well, what happens when, and actually, neither the wife nor the husband can actually operate within that area that God created them for and to operate in? The family unit cannot be one that's nurturing and strengthening and contributing both love to their household but also to their community and to the greater thing. No, because of sin, there's none, like our scripture, there's none that do good. Remember the psalm? There's none righteous, no, not one. They've all gone astray. But in Jesus Christ, the moment we believe the gospel, God pours his Holy Spirit back into our hearts that was lost in the fall. And that Holy Spirit is the love of God that he communicates into our hearts. You see, wives, you can't be obedient to that command and return to the very place that Christ created you for. And husbands, you can't possibly love your wives. You see, keeping the commandments of God doesn't save us. We keep the commandments of God because we have been saved. They are the fruit of the Holy Spirit flowing out of us. And when we abide in Christ in that love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the love of God should pour out of us. Let's just take a look at how the world, the unbelieving world, really acts. And unfortunately, in our day, much of the church, you know, the divorce rate within the church is no different than the world anymore. You really can't tell the church from the world much anymore. So what does it look like when the husband doesn't love the wife and the wife doesn't really love the husband? In a proper, not, you know, I just, not this emotional, I just love her so much, you know. That's why I'm marrying her. Well, you know what? That love is, that feeling is going to diminish someday, and you better have true love or your marriage isn't going to exist. Okay. So what happens? Man and woman, as the command of God, for this reason, he created them male and female, and for this reason, the man should leave his father and mother one day and find a beautiful bride out there in the world, his beautiful bride, and marry her. And they come together in that covenant of love. And they begin to bring forth offspring into the world. So the first thing is that husband is to be the provider for that family. Protection and welfare and everything that family unit needs to exist. Okay, now after the fall, again, that isn't working so well. But it should work in the church, and he's providing everything that should be there. Again, from the fall, the one thing that affects the man is, in all creatures, the humankind, is the fall made us selfish. We go after the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, the things that really entertain us. That's the things that we want. We're selfish-centered. It's about us. So how does a family unit work out? Well, again, they come together, they get married, and everything is great, and the husband goes to work. Well, let's just talk about the husband for a while. We'll get back to the wife, too. And we'll see the effect of the husband not loving his family and his wife as you see it. They go off, the husband goes off to work to provide. God, by the way, has given every one of us a gift of what we're actually supposed to do in the world when he called us into this world. in his image and likeness, and we're to discover that. But the man goes off to work, and then while he's working, you know, of course, the world just catches his attention. All the glitter of gold, all the good feelings of power and influence, and all the beauty of sensuality as he sees all the beauties out there. But he goes to work, and he's a hardest worker. What our culture would say, man, he's a hard working man. He is the hardest working man I ever seen. But you know what? He's at work, and he's doing that. He's working so hard. But he's never at home. He's always at work. He's not really loving God or his family, because God said you need to put those things in their proper place. But he's at work, and he's working hard, and because he's never home, his children are suffering, and his wife is suffering because she's insecure. You know, why is he doing this? And then all of a sudden start to think, you know, he sees somebody at work, another female, because he's never with his wife. And man, all of a sudden bad things start to happen. And bad relationships come. And his children are at home. He's never at the sporting games with them. That's the job of the grandparents, isn't it? In our culture today. But he's never at home with them. He's never affirming his sons and his daughters. He's surely not pursuing the Christian faith, growing in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's supposed to be, so that the primary thing that he should raise his children is, remember, they can't be good citizens anywhere unless they love God. But he's not teaching them the love of God, because he's not demonstrating or living the love of God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This is how we know that we love God. We keep his commandments. And one of the things of the will of God is that we grow in the knowledge and the grace of God. We live that. We worship. We grow in his word. But the father isn't doing that. And he's not training his children in that way. And so he's an absent father. And he's getting tangled up in all kinds of things of the world that he shouldn't. And he's making his wife insecure. Not only is she's realizing that he isn't really loving me. There's other things he loves a whole lot more out there than me. And the children get that too. And he begins to bear the fruit of that in their life. Now don't get me wrong, listen. Jesus said all sins and blasphemies against the Son can be forgiven. Divorce and all of this and all of these types of things. Abortion because of improper sex and obedience to God. All of those things can be forgiven. Let's set that straight right now. But you have to be convicted of their sin before you can repent and receive the forgiveness that's in God. So this man goes after his love. It's all about him, what makes him feel good. And he leaves everything else behind. It's self-evident. How many homes do we have with absent fathers, whether there's a husband in the house or not? It's great. And of course, how does that affect our society? Well, again, this Christian man who now is, you know, having an affair with his wife and everybody in town knows it, but you know, he's bearing God's name. He's a good Christian. I go to church every Christmas and Easter, and I send my check into the church every week. God likes me. I like God. But unfortunately, the image that he's created of God isn't really consistent with the Word of God. And of course, then the wife, she becomes insecure because he's not home really providing everything. It's not just about money in the house, is it, ladies? No, a relationship is much more than that. You were created to have and want that emotional body. You're nurturers. You take care of your husband and your wife. That is what's created in you. And when you can't serve in that mode because your husband is making your life weak and infirm, well, then maybe things come up in life and your eyes get attracted. Or maybe your children, because you're so angry at your husband and you're so broken over his lack of love in your life, that then maybe your children become a burden and maybe the family becomes a burden. You know, if things in life as you serve anybody, if it's a burden, you're not walking in love. Do you get that? And of course, the man eventually, this family he's got out there is a burden to him because he really wants to be set free. He's got new goals and aspirations in life. This text in Ephesians is, in our day, is one of the most divisive texts in our church, in the church life. Why? Because we've allowed the culture to so break us that we can't understand it. It's really a shame. You see, because it is all about love. Why is this world going the way it is? Why is darkness settling in? It's not the world's fault. They're born into that sin and that waywardness to leave God and leave love and just provide for self and rise to power and get as much as you can. That's just natural. The reason the darkness is descending upon our families and our society is because we don't love God. John says in his first epistle, this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments. No. A man that loves God isn't going to order his life to destroy his family. That comes from self. No, this text can't really be preached or even heard properly. Because it takes true faith, it takes the Holy Spirit in the heart to create and have that power for us to be able to walk in the ways of God, to love Him. At the heart of this text, between husband and wife, the biggest problem is the lack of the proper love and fear of God. You see, I promised I could fix the whole world's problems in one sermon. Because you know what it is? It is love. There is nothing else, and that love is only, as Paul says, is poured into our hearts when we believe the gospel by the Holy Spirit. It's poured into our hearts. Then, the obedience to the commands of God and love should flow out of us. Oh, I get it. We're still living in a sinful flesh, and we have to work at it. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in love. We've got to do that. That cooperation with the Spirit. Because the Spirit and the flesh, they war against each other. So you just don't get it in one fell swoop. No, you got to work at it. That's why you come here on Sunday to hear the Word of God, and you participate in the Bible studies and the service to the church, and you grow in the grace and the knowledge of God, and you grow into spiritual maturity. And you will produce. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will produce fruit. So the disobedience produced the fruit of destruction. The obedience and the love of God, being in love with God, provides the fruit of a well-ordered life. So what's the cure? Again, there's only one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And you should love your neighbor as yourself. The rest of the Bible is just commentary. Amen.